Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So how's your day been? Great, right? Yes. Today is the 26th of October, the year 2021. God has been faithful. The topic that we have been speaking about is grace for greatness. Grace for greatness. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we just come before your throne this evening. We ask that you minister to our hearts. Let us be blessed and let the glory be yours. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. So throughout the month of October, we've had seasoned ministers speak about this topic, grace for greatness. So I want to thank everyone that has blessed us. I personally have been blessed. Fantastic month for me. Even when I am not in town, I think once I was not in town, one Tuesday, I logged in and I was very blessed. I just hope and pray that we utilize maximally what we have had. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7 says, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Everybody, only but to each one of us, grace has been given. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all men. That means that everybody has access to grace. Every one of us, we have access to grace. I'm not going to be speaking, I'm going to be diverting a little bit, because I know that justice has been done to this topic. But I just want to define grace. I say grace is a gift from God to humanity. But grace symbolizes the power of God. Whether it is salvation, whether it is unmerited favor, when you are operating in grace, you are experiencing the power of God. Meanwhile, greatness is being above average. Ability to be outstanding, to be excellent, to do above what our peers are doing. So grace for greatness is leveraging the power of God to be outstanding in all our endeavors. We say grace is the power. Greatness is being above average, doing excellently well. So grace for greatness is leveraging that power of God to be excellent. Let me quickly say that greatness, even though we are leveraging the power of God, is for great minds. It's for serious minds. It's for minds that are committed. It's for minds that are teachable. It's for minds that are focused. So we desire greatness. I'm sure everybody here desires greatness, right? We desire to be great. And the grace is available. But why is it impossible to attain that greatness? And I have a small analogy here. Greatness is like a destination. You want to be great. It's like you're going to Lagos. Grace is like a vehicle that you enter to that greatness. Grace is a vehicle to the destination. So we desire to be great. The grace, the vehicle is there, parked in front of your house, parked beside you there. So why is greatness so far away? Why is it still so far away? Why is it an illusion? Why is it so far away? The desire to be great is here. The vehicle to get us there is by our side. So why is that destination still so far away? This evening, I'll be speaking briefly on something I've titled Excuses, a Hindrance to Greatness. Excuses, a Hindrance to Greatness. So what are excuses? I'm sure it's something that everybody here will resonate with. Excuses are reasons we create, we manufacture to defend our behavior, to postpone taking actions. It is something that we manufacture, we create it to defend our behavior. And if you look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, God speaking, he said, "Who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit." Is that the answer to God's question? No. He says, "Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you?" And the excuse was, "The woman you put here with me." If you go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, that same man, let's look at how he qualified the woman. He says, "This is now the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." But the next verse, he says, "The woman you put beside me." Excuses to greatness. The woman, I think it's just nature with man. Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is it that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me." Excuse. The serpent deceived me. You see, as long as you are making excuses, you will continue to justify your actions. You continue to justify where you are. You continue to justify your behavior. And let me tell you something, one truth. Excuses know they finish you. It doesn't finish. We keep on manufacturing. In fact, some of us, we have it stored in the warehouse that will last us a lifetime. So we don't have to manufacture. It's stored there. So we don't even think about it. It's stored. Got to last 3-4 months. So when it doesn't, akomamujadinoni. Excuses. You see, excuses give us the permission to settle for less than God's best. Let me read Luke 14, verses 15 to 20. It says, hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Oh, he says, what a blessing. What a great thing. What an excellent thing to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied with this story. He says, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began making excuses. He says, come. The Bible calls it a great feast. That means if you attend a feast that is great, it means that you are what? You are so great. So Jesus was inviting them to greatness. But he says, they started giving excuses. Let's look at the excuses. One said, I've just bought a field and I must inspect it. Oh. He says, please, excuse me from this greatness. Another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I now have a wife, so I can't come. So please excuse me. At the end, in the verse 24, Jesus makes a sharp rebuke at the table. He says, I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Those guys, they lost the opportunity to be great. He says, not one of them. Not one will get a taste of my banquet. Why won't they get it? Excuses. Now, by every standard, Moses is regarded as a great man. In Psalm 103, verse 7, the Bible says, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The New Living Translation says, he revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11 says, the Lord will speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. That's how close Moses was with God. He says he will speak to Moses face to face. There are not too many people in the Bible that were greater than Moses. For you to lead the Israelites, do you know what the Israelites represent? To lead them out of Egypt, he must have been a great man. Moses was great by every standard. But do you know that Moses would have missed the opportunity to be great because of excuses? We're going to be highlighting Exodus chapter 3 and maybe part of chapter 4 and look at the excuses Moses gave. And we're going to relate it to our day-to-day living. Those are excuses we are giving today. They are hindrances. They are walls. They are blockages to our being great. Exodus chapter 3. I want to read 4 to 10. It says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to Luke, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then Lot said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites. And now the cry of the Israelite has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So this is the assignment in verse 10. It says, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God Almighty. The preceding verse, it says Moses was afraid to look at God. God came down to speak to Moses and gave him an instruction, an assignment. He says, go now to Pharaoh. But Moses was specialized. When I looked at this story, I'm not sure that anybody can manufacture excuses the way Moses did. Number one excuse. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Who am I is an excuse that you and I will resonate with. And I don't think that who am I is out of context. Because when you compare Moses to Pharaoh, indeed, who is he? Says, who am I? Are there times that you feel inadequate? You don't feel qualified enough? Or you feel that there are some limitations in your life, probably because of your nationality, or your gender, or your age? You know, when old people are talking and you want to, you wadake, because who are you? What's your experience? What's your pedigree? Kilofe sombe. Moses says, who am I? You see, God was not interested in who Moses was. The fact is that grace is the vehicle that you need to use. Because indeed, who are you? You see, I wrote here, I said the deliverance of the people didn't depend on the ability of Moses, but on the presence and power and sufficiency of God. Exodus chapter 3 verse 13. Second excuse. Say, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me. And they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? Moses is saying here, I'm limited in knowledge. I don't know enough. Use somebody that is closer to you. Yes, I remember, I think it was Kule Jimba that spoke about knowledge, and I think Pastor Denny also mentioned some of that. It's good to be knowledgeable. It's good to be informed. But no matter how knowledgeable you are, man is still limited. God is the only one that knows it all. Psalm 147 verse 4 says, he counts the numbers of the stars. He gives names to all of them. How many stars can you count? So what God is saying, don't depend on your knowledge. Depend on the grace of God. The power of God. Don't forget I said, the grace of God is his power. Depend, trust in that grace. Not in your knowledge. Number three excuse is in Exodus chapter 4 verse 1. Moses answered, what if they did not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? You see, I see this as very major for you and I. We want approval of men. Kilomaso. I don't want to be disgraced. I have three quotes here, and I just want you to think about it. It says, fear of men is the enemy of the fear of the Lord. The fear of man pushes us to perform for man's approval rather than according to God's directives. We want man's approval. What would they say? I don't want to be disgraced with men. Another quote, that was by Paul Chappell. Another quote by Oswald Chambers says, the remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing. You fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Number three quote says, it is only the fear of God that can deliver us from the fear of man. But the fact is that we want the approval of man. We are afraid. We make excuses because we don't want to be disgraced. What would they say about me? Even the things, you know, as your time wore on, the clothes that you wear is because of man. We don't consider God in a lot of things. So Moses here, in this instance, was looking at his environment. What would they say? I can't be disgraced. Exodus chapter 4 verse 10. That's number 4 excuse now. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow to speech and tongue. He says, I've never been eloquent. Can you see how Moses brought himself down? I've never been eloquent. It's true that when you are afraid, When I finished my master's in business admin, the next thing is to look for a job. So I went to Lagos, and it was a merchant bank, and there was first of all a written test. I think we were about 20, you know, that came for the written test. And I came tops. I came tops in the written test. When was time for the oral interview? I think they brought us in the way we performed. So I was number one. And when I saw the panel, just like Pastor Bayo told us one, when I saw the panel, the first question they asked me, I became just like Moses, speechless. I was dumb. And just like Pastor Bayo too, they now started giving me orijo. Pay, this is the answer. At the answer, I think my mind was utter block. So I can identify with Moses. That's what I'm saying here. I can identify with him. It was a situation of fear. Moses was in the scheme of, he was in the center of it all. He knew who Pharaoh was. He knew who Pharaoh was. They were called slave drivers, oppressors. And a young man, you say, go and face Pharaoh. He says, I'm not eloquent, God. I'm not. Me, listen up. I can't speak. He says, not now. Not before, not now. What to trace here, what to pass here? Say, go and check the past, God. I couldn't speak before. I can't speak now. But look at Acts chapter 7, verse 22. Let's look at what the Bible says about Moses there. The Bible describes him there as a man of power in words. Do you know what it means to be a man of power? Eh? That means he could speak. He knew how to speak. He says, he was a man of power in words and deeds. But what happened to Exodus? He says, I'm not eloquent. What am I saying this evening? Is that it's true. I want to buy your fire. It can be heavy. It can be tough. It can be big. But I'm saying, leverage the grace of God for greatness. The grace of God is the power of God. Leverage on it. Number five excuse is Exodus chapter 4, verse 13. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else. You see, he has exhausted all the excuses. Because raw materials more for manufacturing excuse. But he exhausts everything. Because every excuse Moses gave, God gave a solution. So he had exhausted everything. He now said, oh Lord, I'm not willing. I'm not interested. Send somebody else. You see, Moses looked at all his weaknesses. You can start to analyze all your weaknesses this evening. Maybe you're old. Maybe it's gender. Maybe it's tradition. Maybe you're poor. Maybe it's your nationality. Maybe it's the insecurity. Maybe you're timid. Maybe it's the lack of knowledge. Maybe you're not qualified enough. But if you look at all the excuses Moses gave, God did not answer any of it. Go and check it. God did not talk about Moses and his inadequacies. God only spoke about himself and his ability to do what Moses could not do. God did not address his inadequacies. I cannot speak. I cannot do it. I'm a female. I'm young. God did not attend to those inadequacies. All God was attending to was, I am God. I have the power. The grace is right beside you. Leverage on it. Imagine when Moses got to his fourth excuse. He says, I'm not a good speaker. But I can imagine what God was thinking. Moses was not a good listener. He wasn't a good listener. Because at every point, God was talking to him. He wasn't listening. You see, what matters most, people of God, is not what you can do or what you cannot do. What matters most is what God can do. Because God can do everything. You know, man will say, I can do. These are the things I can do. These are the things I cannot do. But with God, there's nothing he cannot do. He can do everything. If you desire greatness this evening, enter the vehicle of grace. The picture I got is like that vehicle is just beside you here. It's right beside you here. It's the vehicle that will take you to greatness. It's the vehicle that will drive you to be great. But instead of you to look at that grace, we are concentrating on our weaknesses. We keep on giving excuses. Excuses, they never end. Excuses never end. This Sunday, we'll be doing, I announced it last week Sunday, I said, please, everybody should come for praise for the two services on Sunday. Because we're going to be praising God, and the man God has put over us here will be prophesying into our lives. It will be prophetic. But still, and we are begging, from today you start to manufacture. You go to the market, you buy raw materials. You buy raw materials, add this one, or by Sunday, you now manufacture an excuse that will not make you come here. The grace is available to everybody here. Everybody. We have been blessed in the month of October. I personally have been blessed. I've been so blessed. But how do I utilize that blessing maximally? What do I do with what I hear? Please, people of God, excuses will always be around you. But let us focus on God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Almighty God. I am that I am. He's the one that has given us that gift of grace. The grace is the power of God. And it's that grace that can deliver greatness into our hands. Praise the Lord.
Please can we rise up to pray tonight? I want you to please pray. First, I want you to make up your mind that you will pray, and I want you to pray. Excuses. Excuses. How can God help me? And how can God help you? I'm going to be reading the scripture to you, how God helped a man. And like Brother Amola said, when God sends you errand, it's going to be bigger than you. I remember the song. He said, my heart is overwhelmed. 1 Samuel 16, I read from verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I provided me a king among his sons. Excuses. Verse 2. Let's read together verse 2. How can I do what? Praise the Lord. How can I go? It was God that... Someone was replying God. Why? For if what? He will do what? Who is it that Samuel feared? Is it God or Saul? If he had God more than Saul, more than God. But God was conscious of his frailties. God gave him a strategy. I want to pray for yourself. In any area I'm giving excuses, please God, give me a strategy. I want you to pray for yourself tonight. In any area, maybe some things are happening to you. You are saying, can God do it? Can God bring forth water out of the rock? Can God heal me? Can God deliver me? God, please give me a strategy. Can I make it in Nigeria? Can my economy be great again? With everything I'm seeing, he said, God, you don't know how much naira is to a dollar. That's why you are telling me to go and do this. I can't give. What can I do? Maybe you don't know how much they are paying as school fees today. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Now, you know the issue about God. That's why, honestly speaking, please, let us serve God. Put your hands together for God, I beg you. Now, think about it, though. If you are God, so to speak, let me just paint the picture. And Moses is giving you those answers. What will you do to Moses? And well, Omini, you are not serious. You are not qualified. You are unserious. No, it's not God, though. Now, look at the mightiness of God at that level. God still considered to Moses and said, don't worry, I will send Aaron with you. The same God said, who created mouth? Moses does not want to hear. Don't heal me. That was all God told God. What did God do for this man? God looked at his weakness and God helped him. God said, what will I do? He said, someone will kill him. And the Lord said, take an ephah with thee and say, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show thee what thou wilt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. I want to pray again. God, please, give me a strategy. I want you to pray. Give me a strategy. In spite of my fears, in spite of my challenges, in spite of the situation I find myself. In spite of the mountain of the enemies. Oh, I've entered menopause. I've used drug over the years. God, please give me a strategy. It's not about the fact that God has not answered the prayer. It's about the fact that you must have the right strategy. Every situation, every problem has a solution. If you don't have the solution, you don't have the solution. If you pray, you still have to go and solve that problem. So you must have this right strategy. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. I say you will prosper. You didn't hear me. I say you will prosper. I say you will prosper. Please look at me. Anybody can prosper with the right strategy. So Samuel did what God said he should do, and the thing showed up again. The weakness showed up again. Verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely, he didn't say maybe, oh, he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Because Eliab was looking like Saul. They look alike, was tall like Saul. Saul was very tall. Like a pedigree of who should be the king. In terms of man's design. But God told Samuel something. Immediately, God did not allow Samuel to do the wrong thing. I wanted to pray. God, please don't allow me to do the wrong thing. Don't let me take the wrong step. Please don't let me pray for that land. What is sweet talk, eh? They have sweet talked you finish. They have put you aside. They have told you the CFO is ready. The O of C is ready. The governor has given consent. The king, God, please don't let me make that mistake. God, please don't let me kill a witch. Kiss a witch. Oba kiss a Mary. In Jesus' name, I will not kiss. Your wife is at home. No one was getting me. In Jesus' name, I will not see. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Verse 7. As we close. But the Lord said unto Samuel, pray for yourself that you will hear God. The Lord said unto Samuel, it is the voice of God that delivers Samuel from error. Error of destiny. If not for the voice of God, Samuel would have committed error that would have affected the whole nation. God, please, let me hear your voice. When I want to take decision. What a package. Good day, low one, good day, stick. God, please, let me hear your voice. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.